I'm Annette Ruby from the Knowledge Centre, and today I'm talking to Clara Rubner-Jurgensen, who's a doctoral candidate at the Centre for Research in Ethnic Relations and Warwick Institute of Education. Hello, Clara.
Hi.
I just thought perhaps we'd start by just asking you to tell us a bit about your research projects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm researching how young people from migrant or minority ethnic backgrounds experience going to school mm-hmm. and what they want to do after compulsory schooling. Mm-hmm. So I've been working mainly with young people in the age group of 15, 16 years old, right before they end compulsory schooling. So they have had to do some thoughts about what they want to do in their future mm-hmm. as well. And my project is a comparative project. So I've been talking to young people in Birmingham and in Madrid, trying mm-hmm. to see like how they think about their schooling and future lives within these two different contexts. Mm. And it's done from using ethnographic research methods. So I've done participant observation in a school in each city as well, participated in the classes of these young people, and mm-hmm. done qualitative interviews and, you know, just being part of the context.
Mm. Yeah, it's very interesting. And how did you get interested in that to start with?
Well, I've been interested in educational anthropology for quite some time, and I think that you know, I think education really is one of these things that can really make a change or difference for young people and children. So I think that, and I think anthropology really has something to add to this. So that's kind of how I got involved with it in the first place. And then this project, I think it's kind of the result of a number of things. So one of them was that when I looked into the area of migrants and minority ethnic youth in schools, I thought there was, particularly in comparative research, there really was an overwhelming focus on achievement, mm-hmm. attainment, these kind of measures you can kind of measure. Mm. And I thought that, you know, education is more than that as well. And I really thought it would be interesting to ask the young people what they thought was mm-hmm. important in terms of schooling and what their life at school. So that's another thing. And also, I would say that the comparative educational research very often is quantitative. So so it's interesting to have also the qualitative part, because it mm-hmm. can give us different things.
I was going to ask you a bit about your research method. So you mentioned you've been going into these schools, and I want to ask you what your experiences have been, and were there lots of contrasts between Madrid and Birmingham? And
there was a lot of differences, I would say. Well, just talking about the schools in general, not so much about what the young people said, there was mm-hmm. Quite a lot of differences between these two schools. I think it's also, of course, it's difficult to generalize. You can't say that one school represents all of English schools or all of schools in Birmingham and another. Mm-hmm. I mean, it also is very specific. And when you do ethnographic research, of course, you need to be really aware of the context you're working in. But I tried to find schools which could in some ways be compared in terms of kind of social class backgrounds and mm-hmm. all these kind of things. But it's very difficult. So, but anyway, I think that there was an interesting difference in the way that, for example, in the interaction between teachers and students was mm-hmm. more formal in the Birmingham context, whereas in Madrid it was a bit more informal. Also, mm-hmm. the students were not wearing uniforms. They would address their teachers by their first name. Here it would be, you know, last name or miss. It was different mm-hmm. things like that. And I think that it was quite interesting to consider as the context. And then one of the reasons why I've chosen to compare these two specific contexts was because I was interested in seeing how the young people would kind of talk about schooling and diversity and these kind of issues in a country where migration has been happening for quite some time. Yeah. There's quite a long tradition for migration in the UK and, you know, talking about multiculturalism, diversity and all these kind of things. Whereas in Spain, it's a bit more recent. And I think I could see that in some of my in some of my findings as well, that there was more focus on diversity and these kind of things in the English school. So.
And what about the aspirations of the individuals? Did they differ a lot?
They did to some degree. I mean, all of them had quite high aspirations, I would say, because the students that I talked to were from a mixed background. So I did actually talk to both migrants, minority ethnic youth who could have taken third generation in the country, mm-hmm. but also Spanish and English.
Yeah.
Or young people who did not have a migrant or minority ethnic background. So I tried to find out if there was something also they could have in common. And I think that it did point out some very interesting similarities, but also differences between these different groups. And I think that some, for example, they did all kind of inspire to do things, and some of them wanted to go to university, of course. Others did not want to do that, but none of them wanted to, for example, stop studying at the age of 16 when it's possible to.
Yeah, so they all took a positive thing away from the sort of formative?
I would say, you know, most of them, they wanted to continue in different things. It was very many different things, but still, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just wondered if you'd tell us a little bit about your work with UNTRAP, which is, I understand, University / User Teaching and Research Action Partnership.
Yes, so that's the work I'm doing in the Institute of Health. Mm-hmm. And UNTRAP is an organization which links academics and service users and carers. Mm-hmm. So basically it's a partnership mm-hmm. between service users of carers and carers, university staff. And what it is that we're trying to facilitate, develop the involvement of service users and carers in teaching and research.
Yeah.
Part of my work is when researchers come to me and they say they would like service user involvement or user involvement in their research, mm-hmm. I ask them to write a little bit about the project and I send it out mm-hmm. in a mailing to all our members. And currently we have around 180 members mm-hmm. on our database. There's also some of them are involved in teaching in the mm-hmm. medical school and social work. So those are the two main areas, health and social work, that we are working with. And then the service users get back to me if they're interested, and I kind of send on their contact details mm-hmm. to the research. So I'm the link between these two groups.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. How does your research fit into the development of your discipline as a whole?
As I'm an anthropologist, and it is an ethnographic project, but it also has to do with ethnic relations, migration mm-hmm. Research, has to do with education. So it has kind of a lot of different influences, I think, and therefore it's hard for me to see how it fits into all these things. But I do think, as I said in the beginning, that that it can fit in the development. That's at least my hope, because I think there's quite a lot of quantitative research in this field of education, and I think it could be really interesting to add to it some ethnographic research, the comparative. I know there's a lot of ethnographic research in educational research, which is taking place in one field or in one school, but I think this whole comparative aspect adds another dimension to it, and it could be interesting, and I think it would bring on new things.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. And finally, I just wanted to ask you how you saw your work developing in the future.
Well, I have lots of ideas. I think that what I'm working on now, first of all, is that I would like to do some feedback to these schools, because I think that's, you know, a basic part of what you do. You have to kind of get it back to them. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm thinking about at the moment, to kind of try to write a report, but I'm also talking to them about maybe doing some workshops or something. That's something I think could be quite interesting to develop, perhaps to get into dialogue with teachers or with schools and see how these things that I've found maybe could fit into their work, get a discussion going around that. And I think that I would like to continue working in this field in the future and perhaps develop it in other countries. I don't know. You know, it's an option.
A lot of scope.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you
for coming in. And do come back and see what we're up to on the Knowledge Centre, as we'll be updating the site regularly with the latest research and learning materials.